When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
BFFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
Pac-12 Conference still needs one team. They need a team. They are one short. They need one school that plays all sports, or maybe they need two schools for scheduling reasons that play football. What are they going to do? Well, yesterday I mentioned I was at WCC, Mountain West Conference, Pac-2 Media Day. Washington State and Oregon State were there. Wayne Tinkle, not all that happy that his team was picked seventh. I asked him if he's taking it personally. He said no, but it raised his eyebrows, which means yes. Wayne Tinkle and Oregon State picked seventh in the WCC. Meanwhile, Mark Few is there, and Mark Few went several hours talking with a bunch of media about his players, about his roster, about his schedule, and then he got to me late in the day, and I had an exclusive 20-minute window with Mark Few, and I used it all. You're going to hear that interview. Gonzaga's coach talking realignment, expansion, the move to the Pac-12, Tony Bennett's retirement, how kids have changed, the burn of coaching, all of that. But we started with, as Mark Few settled into the booth, just to set the scene, I'm on a stage, there's studio lighting all around, and I've got sort of my radio recording equipment set up. And I'm in this area where no one else is around. We've got some space. We got some time to quietly talk. He finished doing his other media obligations, and we've got 20 minutes until he has to go back on the stage and talk about his players, his roster, his schedule. So I feel like he let his guard down a little bit. I think we got a really candid, authentic interview. I had not heard him like this before, and when I've interviewed him before, I have not felt him so relaxed. I think some of it is that he got softened up a little bit by doing hours and hours and hours of getting asked about, you know, how you're feeling about the season, how you're feeling about your roster, you know, can you get back to a Final Four, all that stuff. I told him, we're not going to do that stuff, but I'm awful interested in this Pac-12 stuff, and we started the interview by talking about how kids have changed, because as Few sat down, I had a GoPro camera, and I said to him, is it okay if I turn the camera on in addition to the radio equipment? I want to take some video of this. And he said, sure, I don't mind. And I said, I want the same interview, though. I don't want you to clam up and be a weird, have it be a weird dynamic if you know that it's being videotaped. Because sometimes people do that. If there's a camera around, for some reason, they get tight. And he said, I'd never noticed that, whatever. And then we started talking about kids. How players have changed, now kids are far more comfortable being filmed, Instagram, TikTok, all that. You got a phone in your hand when you're 14 years old, you know what I'm talking about. I'll start the interview here and just pick it up with me asking Mark Few, the Gonzaga basketball coach, how kids have changed over the years. Is there anybody more uniquely qualified than Mark Few to tell us how recruits and 17 and 18-year-old kids have changed?
Kids have changed in your time coaching.
Yep.
What do you see, because you're as qualified as anybody to talk about how kids are different in today's world. Mm-hmm. What have you seen maybe in the last 5 or 10 years that's different?
They're much more like in tune with this.
Yeah.
You know, and just, I'm not going to say leery at all. I think they're just more, very much more comfortable and in tune with it. And obviously, when it comes to doing something now, this is probably at the forefront of what they do. Like, oh, yeah, like I'm going to put my announcement
right.
on this day, and this is how I'm going to do it, yeah. and this is, and you're like, well, I would focus more on who you're picking
yeah.
with the announcement as right. opposed to how you're going
right.
to do it. I mean, it's like worrying about how your wedding's going to come off before, like, you pick your actual partner.
Oh, that's such a great analogy. Yeah, they're picking out the linens and the DJ and the DJ location
and the lights and who's going to film it yeah. and who's going to be there. And like, dude, how about you figure out who she is and how she's going to be and what she's all about?
Do you, you know, we're watching some coaches who are throwing the keys in, who are saying, you know, in football yeah. and in basketball, and they're just saying, hey, it's a different job than maybe it was when I started.
Yeah.
How do you sort of stay mentally in front of that, or psychologically, energy-wise, in front of that?
I mean, listen, we have no – I mean, you're talking like you're in right-now times with this, right? Watching,
right.
I mean, a good friend, Tony Bennett, and,
yeah.
and I think people are kind of stunned or whatever, but at the same time, it's like – hey, congratulations, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, good on you. When you get to that point, and he's had an awesome career, he's done it the right way, and yeah, I think good for him, you know, and I think we've seen it happen now probably a lot, like at a lot faster pace, and
sure.
maybe when you look at Jay Wright and Roy Williams, you know, I think in fairness, you could see kind of Coach K and Coach Boeheim, you know,
yeah.
those were coming down the pipes or whatever. So, yeah, I think you'll probably see more and more of this, just because it's definitely demanding, and it's definitely different than what we signed up for, and you know. Why we got into us, and that,
yeah.
that's not either good or bad or anything like that. I'm just saying it's different. So, you know, you just you adapt as much as you can, and then when you don't feel like adapting, you do what Tony just did.
And I think too, though, I wonder about the guys who are just maybe getting their first jobs,
yeah.
or their first big job where they're making real money.
Yep.
You know, in your era, guys didn't get into coaching for the money.
No,
you know,
no.
And so I kind of wonder if their burn rate will be like faster because they'll have resources. They don't have to coach for 30 years. You know, is it more of a 10 to 12 to 15 year job?
I think absolutely. And I think just because the lights are on them at all times now, not just game night or something. I think you use a good term there, burn rate.
Yeah.
I'm going to borrow that. Like, yeah, it's just – and that, look, we were all competitive, and it's always been hard, but there's just a lot more stuff going into it now, and a lot more you're on 24 hours a day, and any misstep at all can end it. And then, listen, like, for 33 years, if anybody ever talked about paying anybody, I would just
right.
run out
right.
the door,
because yeah.
at Gonzaga, like, that we always knew, like, if we just followed the rules, we could keep our job.
Yeah. Right.
Literally.
Yeah.
And, you know, and raised by, you know, I mean, mentors of Judd Heathcote and people like
yeah.
that would never, I mean, a rule was a rule, and you don't break a rule, and, you know,
yeah.
if you did, you're going to hell. And so, I mean, a lot of that's been hard for some of us, like, what,
yeah.
you know, especially when some of these first questions that come up in recruiting, okay, or, you know, what's your NIL package? So
I covered Jerry Tarkanian for 3 seasons. I covered Bobby Knight right before him. So I had this swing of the pendulum with these two personalities. But
yeah.
there, what I learned was, you know, both those guys, the objective was the same. They
right.
wanted to win at a high level. They
yeah.
wanted to get to a Final Four. They had different methodology. But I wonder, Tark, I think, would have been fine in this era.
Yeah.
I think Knight, he's such a good teacher, he would have figured it out. He would have had to have someone on his staff.
Right.
Do you find yourself kind of, as you're looking at your staff, or maybe the support staff at the school, having to account for some of this stuff so it doesn't all fall on you?
Yeah, 100%. And look, that's how I've always coached, is I'm all... always tried to harness all the brain power in the room and not, and I certainly have never thought I had all the answers. I need as much help as possible. So, and you know what, John, it was so refreshing and so cool to be a part of this, you know, Olympic run these last 2 years, and to see those guys, you know, Steve and Spo and Ty, were exactly the same. Yeah. I mean, it was all about no. We're going to use everybody in the room and share all the responsibilities, and that's how I've done it. And it was so rewarding and so nice to Steve shared those same things. And I think you know, that's how we were kind of able to get it done.
The move to the Pac-12, a lot of excitement. I think, you know, Pac-12 fans, especially Oregon State and Washington State fans, I think when Gonzaga came into the room, it became validation. There was a validating moment there. Yep. What was that process like for you, and how involved were you in kind of talking with leadership about what the right move was?
Well, I mean, this, I think you probably know this. This has been probably a 10-year, or I don't know if it's 10 or 8 or 6 or something, that, you know, we've been analyzing options and what we're going to do and what we need to do. And I think I don't know that this is one of those things that the media hasn't been totally as dialed into as they thought. Like, some of these discussions were going on for quite some time because I've been at GU so long. I mean, I quite frankly was handling a lot of them, so I had to come up to speed and understand a lot of this stuff, probably more so than maybe other coaches, just because that was just how it needed to be done, and was able to be able to talk with some guys that educated me and helped me, and all of this thing. The great thing at Gonzaga is we were, you know, pretty much in step with our president, our athletic director, and myself, and so we knew, you know, what was needed for us to make this jump, and this was, you know, the best of what we've been presented over this time.
Was there a
tipping
point?
In a lot of different ways, you know.
Was there a tipping point? Or Teresa Gold, I know she when she shows up and sits down with you, how important was that?
Her and I were able to swap some stories going back
a
couple commissioners of maybe some missteps that were made.
You're too kind.
And talk about, okay, how do you rectify that looking forward, you know? And she's sharp, and she was there through it all. And, you know, when she eventually writes that book or does the documentary, right, it'll be fascinating. And but it's interesting. We also talked about Gonzaga and all that, and maybe if things were done differently, that league wouldn't be in the same position
100%.
They were currently in. Because it's not always just, you know, adding a certain market or adding football in some instances. I think you understand this.
Yeah.
Maybe it's changing the momentum and changing the narrative, which then flips some other people. Or maybe it's a different way of looking at things, and that's what I'm excited and proud of them for, you know, maybe looking at, hey, if X school, who has great football, got a disproportionate amount of the money, you could have kept the whole thing together.
Yeah.
And I think looking at it and things like that and doing it and things like that, you have to do it that way. And it's a shame. I think we all grew up with that league, and it's a shame that I think the presidents weren't, I mean, either open-minded enough or educated enough. It's not easy for some presidents to understand how this thing moves quick and fast and different, man. And I think if they did, we wouldn't be in that same boat we're in right now.
Well, I think a part of it is, and you know, you've dealt with presidents and watched, their world is this world of consensus building and academia, and you don't get promoted to the job of a university president by being visionary and bold and doing something, you know, you're not a bungee jumper. If you're, you know, you are... You want consensus in the room and bulletproof moves, and then you ask that person to go, hey, jump into this business, now this billion-dollar business, and make a good decision. It's not a world that they've lived in.
Correct. Yeah. And the statement prior to this by me was not built on – I don't blame them. Like, they probably shouldn't know. This is a weird business,
right?
And different, and it moves not at glacial speed, but, man, it's moving quick. And especially when these things, I tell everybody, everybody's asking, like, well, what's going on expansion or whatever, you know, league? And I'm like, well, man, it hits fast, and all of a sudden you're dealing with it. Everybody's calling and talking to you and all this, and then there's a lull.
Yeah.
And then hits fast again, you know, and like, that's different. And I don't know that they should have to worry about this stuff.
Yeah.
I think the smart ones let the people that are in it day to day understand it and understand TV and understand branding and understand, you know, recruiting and all this and how this, it's all tied together. And that's what ADs are for, and even head coaches are for. And so the smart ones kind of lean into those people.
Did you have a first call or that moment where you knew, all right, it's happening, we're going?
Well, there's been a couple that have been closer probably than people think.
Yeah.
So we've kind of been down that road, myself and our athletic director, Chris, for sure, and our president, Thane McCullough, but I think as we got deeper and had discussions with Teresa, then like it and what was being talked about, what you could tell was probably going to work.
Yeah, and that group, and it's weird, you know, here at Media Day in Vegas, where you've got like three media days, three conferences that are really here.
Yeah.
You've got this Pac-12 thing going on in the background, Mountain West, WCC.
Right.
It's a little bit strange. How do you think, maybe for you it's different than other programs, because I think you still will always be Gonzaga and recruit Gonzaga kids. But I wonder, you know, for like Washington State, they can now tell a recruit, hey, this is where you're playing in 2-3 years if you're here.
Yeah.
Do you think that far in the distance, though, if you're a college basketball coach, or is it about next season and then retention and we'll see?
It's funny. I've ran into a couple of my, you know, compadres in our league or in those leagues you mentioned, and, you know, they brought it up, and I'm like, well, it is 2 years from now.
Right.
The way this thing moves, like, you gotta just kind of stick and move day to day. And so, I mean, that was kind of my advice to them. But, listen, and my stock line to everybody is I think it's a great move for our university. It provides stability. And I think it's a great move for our athletic department. It provides stability there, hopefully, you know, some help financially. Our program's been, we've been able to do what we've done in the WCC. And so, I mean, regardless of league affiliation, I think, you know, hopefully we'll just keep doing what we're doing. But I'm happy for the athletic department. I'm happy for the school, because I think, you know, it's time for us to start maybe enjoying a little bit more of the fruits of our labors instead of having to go out there and work and work and work. Because basically, but my analogy is we were a salesman with commission and 100% commission, and that's how we survived this far.
Yeah, and
we
had
to go make our sales.
Will you be able to shift mindset there? Because I kind of wonder, you know.
It's too late in the game for that. But I think we'll just keep doing what we do.
Yeah.
You know, but now I think it'll be so much nicer for everybody else.
Do you think this tournament, NCAA tournament, needs an expansion? Does it need more teams? Where do you stand on how big is too big, all that?
I'm great friends with Dan Gavitt, and I think he does an incredible job at his position there. And so I really kind of lean into him on stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest with you, I don't really feel like it does. It's tough when you're on the outside looking in. We haven't had to experience that in a long time, but I've had a lot of buddies that have, and they make very compelling arguments. But at the same time, you're just like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And it's that the tournament's definitely not broke.
Yeah,
we need some definite change at the NCAA level.
Yeah,
yeah.
I wish the NCAA had done a better job of being forward-thinking and proactive.
100%.
It's just, you know, it's like a 70-year-old who needed to make some health changes at 30, you know, and now we're going, okay, you better get with it or you won't exist.
I think what we spoke to earlier, like maybe weren't able to see it coming and how it was happening, and those people kind of in the trenches, so to speak, could. And I think there were so many opportunities for them to give a little bit, you know, and I think that would have stemmed the flow. So like I talked about momentum, and they didn't. And I think there's definitely a lesson in that. But now we just need some kind of framework to work with when you're sitting as a coach here, just to kind of, this thing went from, you know, here to, man, now we're over here. Right. We got to bring it back to like right here, I think, for it to really, really work seamlessly.
Are you reading anything, any book on your nightstand right now? Watching anything interesting? Netflix, binge watch? What are you into?
Marcy and I watch a lot of stuff. I mean, geez, we're getting through like 4 different things here from The Chosen. We love The Chosen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a great, great...
We went back. We're watching Sopranos again.
Are you?
Because I found out she hadn't watched it, and I was like, "What? Are you kidding me?"
Yeah,
that was that long ago.
Yeah,
so you need to go back and check that.
We're missing Yellowstone.
Yeah,
we're upset at that, you know. But we've been slow horses.
Yeah,
I enjoy that. Have you ever watched that one?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's great.
And actually, surprised at how good. Sly Stallone's deal is King of Tulsa.
Okay.
We've been watching that. We've watched the Vince Vaughn one with Bad Monkey.
Yeah, yes.
And been kind of surprised with how good Old Man is.
Yeah.
With Jeff Bridges.
Yeah. Are you picking these, or is she picking them and you kind of go, okay?
We both do. I love the kind of the genre, the Old Man of just kind of spy action, kind of great makes you think, you never really quite know what's going on. Slow
like
Horses
that.
Has got a little bit of that in it.
All right, Coach, thank you. Appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, you got it, John.
Right. There he is, Mark Few, the Gonzaga basketball coach. Really good stuff with him. I thought that was a candid interview that was very different than the other interviews I had with him. And again, it took place at this surreal Mountain West Conference, WCC Conference, a little bit of Pac-12 with Washington State and Oregon State in the room, produced by Pac-12 Enterprises, by the way. Just a weird event that had just this weird vibe about it. Later in the show, in the 5 o'clock hour, Stu Jackson, the WCC commissioner, the vantage point of a conference commissioner who gets the phone call at 10 o'clock, 10 p.m., the night before Gonzaga is going to make the announcement they're leaving to the Pac-12. I asked Stu Jackson what he said on the phone to Gonzaga's president and what the WCC does next. Interesting conversation with the commissioner of the WCC. You'll hear it in the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to talk college football and the NFL next. Stick around.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.